Hi, Smooches. On this episode, we got to hang out with the brilliant and hilarious Eve Dangerfield. We previously recapped her book, Begin Again, Again, the first in her Rebirth series. Book 2, Return All, is out now and it is phenomenal. We talked about Eve's complex heroines and her love of writing heroes who have lots of evolving to do. Then, we each expose our top 5 weirdest crushes in visual media. There are some truly shocking selections on our list. Do not listen to this episode with a full bladder. Hi, Meg.
Hi, Liz.
We have an amazing guest with us today. Yay. We have author Eve Dangerfield. Hi, Eve.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. I was like the most impressive, incredible eyebrows I've ever seen.
Oh, yes.
I'm very into eyebrows and yours are
just,
very good.
It's my Italian heritage. When I was younger, like when it was still cool to like wax your eyebrows all the time, I'm really glad that my mom was like, you're too young, you can't do it. So now they're allowed to, which I feel so bad for everyone who like waxed the fuck out of their eyebrows. Now they have to go get microblading and shit. Like, what a way. You're being a woman, yeah. Am I right? Like,
very much that. I feel like my wedding photos are from like right as skinny brows were starting to not be the trend, so they're like thick enough to not be embarrassing but skinny enough that I'm like
it was some arch, like, yeah, there was some like arch stuff going on in the late 2000s.
So Meg, what are we here to talk to Eve about other than her amazing books, which we want to hear all about?
Definitely want to talk about her books, but we're also going to talk about our top 5 weirdest crushes. And I feel pretty confident in my list.
You're like, there's some gold in these hills.
So did we all stick to visual media?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What does that say about humans? Like, we're such visual creatures. Like, it's cool. Yeah.
I mean, we fan cast characters in our novels. So that's one of the things I want to ask you about. If you have fan cast when you're writing your books.
Not really, but I do find like now I'm working with my cover artist and she does cartoons. Like the easiest thing in the world is just to be like this famous person, you know, Dove Cameron, like you just pick a person and you're like, yeah, it's their vibe as well as kind of their looks, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
When it's in, yeah, it helps people to kind of visualize. And like, you know, there's only like 20 people in all of, I feel like, all around as far as like vibes and looks and, you know, everything. So you can kind of just like start sectioning people off. But yeah, I think as though it's usually people I have met in real life that I think have a I pull from more, which nobody's assuming. Nobody's allowed to go through my books and accuse me of stealing their personalities. But yeah, I feel like that's what I like to draw from a bit more.
I felt very strongly about my fan casting for Began Again Again.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah. It was very good.
I know he's not an actor, but just like Gus Kenworthy is what came to my head. And I was like, yes, this is who I picture.
I love that. As soon as I saw that guy, I was like, really good call. Like, holy shit. And the girl as well. Who was the woman? It was, she was an actress.
Rose McIver.
Yeah, the girl from iZombie. And I was like, that has all worked out really well.
So we
both just finished reading number 2 of the series, which is Return All, and fucking loved it.
Oh, hooray!
Okay, so tell us like your elevator pitch of Return All.
I feel like it's like a daddy novel, first and foremost. I think I started writing full time and I was in a really good mood. And I was like, mm-hmm. I want this to be kind of my party novel, which I know it still has dark elements, but I was like, and I was kind of like, you know what? Like, I want to do something crazy. Like, I want to do a multimillionaire woman. And I want it to kind of be like a bit of a millennial justice story where it's like someone who gets rich and actually uses their money to make the world a better place. And I also wanted to kind of I'm like fascinated by pro athletes. Like I find, I realize this isn't very elevatory, but
no,
like a daddy pro
elevator
athlete,
pitch was like the only, as soon as I said elevator pitch, I was like, why did I say
we've
that?
We've gone on the elevator like, and we pulled the emergency thing and we're just locked in together.
We're like, tell us everything about your new book right now.
Until the firefighters show up. I'm obsessed with pro athletes. Like my brother's always played sport. I've always watched sport and I love the mindset where it's like, in many ways it's a really privileged position to be in. In a lot of other ways, it's extremely high pressure. It's extremely, you always have to be better every single year. You can end your entire career in a moment. You can do a serious injury. And I love the high stakes of that. And I think that men that play sport and, you know, do it successfully have a really interesting psychology. So I was trying to explore someone who is like at the very top of their game. And it's like, ultimately you're going to age out of your profession. And it's like, you know, kind of, how does that make you feel as a man, as a human being? You know, how is it to be the partner of someone whose job that is? So I was just very excited about the idea of kind of going really big and kind of moving away from more kind of where I usually am, which is more working class, middle class people, and going like bang, rich and famous, like huge, and kind of parties and hotels. And yeah, so that was my returnal. Daddy plus football player plus money.
I think that it's so fun to read about rich people, as much as I dislike rich people in real life. And the fact that both Mara and Derek, people who came from a working class background, and
that makes a difference,
who have become independently successful, and they're not shitheads. Like Mara is trying to do some good with her money when she found out that someone had invested it in rental properties and that she was basically an unwitting slumlord. She's like, no, fuck that.
this is bad, you guys. This is real bad.
So the hero in Returnal is at the top of his game, like you said, and then Byron in Begin Again Again was kind of the other side of that, where he didn't get to experience the best days of his career because he injured out.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I feel like that would be so humbling, you know, as you've trained for this your whole life. You've probably started in Australia, you start Auskick when you're 7 or 8. And it's like, you know, you play all through school, like you know, you're probably drafted when you're a teenager. And it's just like, I can't imagine how it would feel in similar ways, maybe to being a model, but even being a model, you're not going to, unless you like fall off a fucking runway, you're not going to have like a career ending event in your early 20s. Mm-hmm. Whereas it's like, you can really, you know, lose your whole career in an instant. And it's like, what does that do to someone whose whole life kind of revolves around that, that job, and that's your passion. That's the only thing you've ever really done. Like, and the same thing with Derek is like, you know, the pressure on you to kind of be better every single year and kind of stay at the top of your game. And there's all this kind of expectation and hype around your performance. It's like, in some ways, I think you can feel like there's nowhere to go but down.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah.
For sure. And something I have really appreciated about both the books is that like the transformations that my feelings about the main characters go through. Especially the heroes. I'm like, oh, you're cute. Oh, you're a dick. Oh, you're cute.
Totally. I totally get that. I feel like people, like reviewers, can be like, oh, I didn't like Derek all the time, or, you know, but I'm like, that was kind of my intention, I think. Like, I know we talk about a lot about likability and stuff, but I'm like, especially in romance novels, like if there's no emotional conflict and there's no growth,
right?
Like, you've got evil stepmothers trying to keep them apart, which is very difficult to put into a modern romance. It's like, where is the conflict kind of going to come from? Like,
right,
people have to be assholes at least some of the time, or, you know, have to grow in some way, or
I feel that same way, where a handful of the novels I pick up, the conflict is completely external to them. They're too like perfect people. Mm-hmm. And it's just like the external world that's the problem. And I'm like, that's just not how it is. Like, we're all different times.
And I will say, like, I have a soft spot for cunty boys. Like, I totally get it. The way Derek acted was not cool at all, but I was like, he was really young, and in his own stupid brain he was like, this is, I don't know, this seems to make sense, I don't really know, I'm scared, I'm going to run away.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it's realistic, and I like how you write these cunty boys that I'm like, I don't want to like you, but I know that I would go back to the cunty boy just like the heroine. And just like you write really complicated but interesting and ultimately like good person heroes, you write really complex, multifaceted heroines. And I like how you portray things that I haven't seen other writers touch on, like how Beth in Begin Again was a sober heroine, and that was a big part of her storyline. And I loved reading that. And then with Mara, the fact that she was a woman who grew up poor and then became a millionaire and a socialite. And even just the fact that she had plastic surgery, and she mentions different plastics. Like, I've never seen a heroine in a romance novel talk about having had plastic surgery.
Which is kind of where I did it, because I was like, I'll be honest, like, if I had millions of dollars, like, fuck knows what I would do. Like, I feel like it's like, and to be fair, I was thinking of my friends who have had lip injections, who have like, you know, not to the extent, but I was like, you know what, like, if you have sticky outy ears and you want to pin your fucking ears, go for your life. Like, it's so unfair with the standard we put on women, which is be exquisitely beautiful, but fuck you if you ever want to do anything about it. Like, I don't know if you guys know, like, the Anna Nicole Smith story, like, You're Wrong About, which is this amazing podcast, had it. And it's like, you know, that she built her beauty, that she got those huge jugs, and she gave people what they wanted, and they were still just like, oh, well, you're fake though, so it's not, it's like, you know, there's really no way to win except for being born exquisitely beautiful. Like, fuck you if you want to kind of make yourself more conventionally attractive, like, which is like, what the fuck's that about?
This is a very random aside, but, and you can maybe can cut this out, but one of my first jobs was at Build-A-Bear Workshop. I don't know if you all have
those. Yeah, I know what that is. Yeah.
And I stuffed a bear for Anna Nicole Smith's daughter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. Oh, that's like the closest to celebrity I've ever come.
Yeah. And you were like, well.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
That's amazing.
That's anyway, so cool. Extremely random.
Okay. Anywho. So, Eve, do you think that your leanings on what you like to write in heroes and heroines is reflected in your list of crushes?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I'm looking at it, I'm like, we're gonna get into it, but I feel like you guys are gonna walk away from this knowing way too much about me.
Oh, same.
Yes.
I was like, I suggested it, and then I was like talking to my partner about who I was putting down, and he's just like, this is, you're just gonna be basically telling them about, yeah, you're in
trauma. I'm gonna be like, so here's excited. My trauma, everyone.
Yeah.
Well, that is very on brand for us, so
yes, I'm excited. I think it'll be fun.
Okay, do you want to tell us your number five?
Yes, so mine kind of go like on a journey from my first, like, it's not in terms of what is the weirdest, I kind of went from my first weird crush as a child, and we've like kind of grown, you know, you'll see the Eve Dangerfield growth over the years. But my first weird crush, and I did write about this on Instagram because I was thinking about it for the podcast, was Michael Palin in The Holy Grail. Which is like, I, you know, we're just going to start as we mean to go on. Like, that's a very fucking weird crush. I was like 11. I grew up very sheltered. Both my parents were teachers, and they were very much like, we didn't watch TV. Like, it, you know, we read all the time. That was their whole thing. And so I was never allowed to watch R-rated movies. And my cousin put on The Holy Grail at Christmas at my grandma's house. And I was just like, Like it completely melted my brain. And Michael Palin was the cute one. He was sort of baby faced, but he was also a knight. Like to this day, I find knights very sexy, I think for that specific reason. And anyone who's seen the Holy Grail is like, he's the one who's getting tempted in the tower by all the sexy women. So it was probably also that too. Like, you know, that he walks into the castle and there's all these women in the bath and stuff. So I'm just like, That's hilarious. Yeah, so that was very weird one. Like to today, like if people just randomly say like the Holy Grail in conversation, I like sort of like start looking around and getting like all flustered.
Memories.
Yeah, it's just like one of those cultural touchstones. Like I don't know if you guys have that where it's like it's not sexual at all, but it reminds you of like a very evocative time in your life and you're like, whoa.
Oh, that sentiment is definitely in my list.
Mm-hmm. So does it hold up if he's not in armor?
Oh no, see, this is what I was gonna say. Like he's old as shit now. Like he's fucking old. Like
he's 78.
yeah, just quickly googling. Yeah, and like only really in that movie and like the other Python-y kind of stuff from the 70s. So like by the time I was watching it, he was already just old as all fuck. So I think it's very much restricted to the Monty Python kind of canon, but sure. Yes.
I can respect that.
Yeah. I looked up photos and I found one from a Reddit post and the post says always had a big old lady boner for this funny guy.
Yeah, oh my god, like he's so cute. And you feel like unlike all the other pythons who seem like varying stages of like alcoholics and like assholes, like Michael Palin might be really nice. Like he's been married for like 50 years, he seems like he might be like nice, which I think is a good, like, you know, ultimately my crushes do like you have to sort of seem nice unless you being an asshole is what I'm specifically attracted to.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Wonderful.
All right.
Okay,
so my number five, I similarly could not rank them in order of like intensity of weirdness, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. they are what they are. So
they're weird in their own way.
Yeah. So I just set categories for myself. And the full disclosure, I had a little bit of a hard time doing this because most of my weird crushes are like real people in real life.
Actually, yeah.
Extremely weird. But okay. So number five was my cartoon category. Mm-hmm. And while I did have some feelings about the sister from Lilo and Stitch, if you ever saw that, I landed on the Beast from Beauty and the Beast because that came out the year I was born. I watched it a billion trillion times. I would make my parents reenact the like bell putting the washcloth on his like scratched up arm, and like it became like a role play thing.
Like, do you think your parents like thought maybe it was a romantic thing too and they were kind of just like, sure, whatever, or like you're hoping that they were just like, sure, fine?
They're probably just having like an out-of-body experience, but which they are still having to this day. So, and I did fan cast the Beast when we did the episode about the Praxian one from Ruby Dixon.
When she purrs.
Yeah, when she purrs. I was just picturing a cartoon beast the whole time.
How do you feel about the live enactment? Did it do the beast justice, or it just no one can hear it?
Yeah. It wasn't as erotically charged for me.
I feel that. Yeah, I feel like the guy from Downton Abbey, like maybe he had nothing to do, but I feel like he was horribly miscast in that role. Like such a salty prick the whole time. It's like, ugh.
Yeah. I just think it's so funny knowing what I know about you and entertainment as a child that your parents probably thought, oh, this is just wholesome and harmless, Disney fun. And
listen, the pickings were slim as far as finding cartoon crushes back in the day when like VeggieTales was the only choice of entertainment. Like, yeah. So it was going to be the Beast, or it wasn't going to be a damn tomato cucumber. I guess it could have been a cucumber. Anyway, I'm going to show
you. Beast was way more informed. Like that's, you got to give the Beast that. He looks like a dude.
True. All right, Liz, confession time.
Okay, yes. So my number five, and this list is all over the place because there are some that have stood the test of time and some that are more recent, but a theme emerged for most of them. My number five is The Darkling, as played by Ben Barnes on the Netflix adaptation of Shadow and Bone. He is power hungry. He's amoral. He's manipulative. He violated the heroine's bodily autonomy in a truly horrific way. And he could rearrange my internal organs however he liked. I don't know what it is. I think that maybe it's his seeing his backstory in the show and seeing that, you know, he's coming from a place of trauma. I love wounded heroes. I do. Mm-hmm. And he's wounded. I think that in his mind, he is doing a good thing for his people, but he's going about it in like a really, really, really bad way. And just, you know, there's something about the bad boy that you think like, oh, but he has genuine feelings for me. And also the question, like, but does he have genuine feelings for me? Like that tension of like how much of this is real and how much of this is a manipulation is very intriguing to me. So
so you think like if he was like a good boy or like he became good, you'd like get bored of him in like 6 weeks? You'd be like
you know, I don't think yes. so. I don't think I'd get bored. No, I feel like as long as that dark streak remained in some areas, you know, like maybe like let's direct that energy into less violent like channels.
I'm just imagining like the two of you living together and he like goes outside on Sunday morning and just like kicks your bin over. He's like, yeah.
Does that do it for you, babe?
I'm still a bad boy.
You gotta keep it interesting.
Oh, that's good. Okay, good one. All right, so number four.
Oh, okay. So number four for me is I'm a little bit older, and it's Rothbart from the Swan Princess movie.
Oh, hell yeah.
I know. I was so relieved. A couple of years ago, one of my other best friends from childhood was just like, I was telling her about it and I was confessing it in like a moment of deep shame. And she was like, no, dude, like I had that too. Weird, he's a pervert, like he has that song where he's like, I'm a bad boy, I was born to be, like he's an ugly pervert weirdo in like a movie where everyone else is like one dimensional to the biggest degree. He is like the most charismatic person in that movie by far. I can't even remember what the main dude's name is. Like,
I think it's Derek, actually.
Derek. Oh my God. Of course it's Derek. Well, but like Odette just like stands there. Like they make her such a sassy little girl. And then she grows up and she's like, oh no, I'm a swan. Oh, man. Like, and you're just like, what the fuck, bitch? Do something. Like, you can fly away. Derek to help you out. That cunt's useless. But like, you know, but Rothbart's just being a fuckhead, and I can't explain it any more than to like, and you can edit this out if it's too graphic, like it just gives me like a visceral sexual feeling in my body.
That is not too graphic.
There's something about his mustache.
Like I don't like, you could have like ugly hate sex with him, like imagine him like kidnapping you and doing weird things to your body, and you don't want to like it, but you would. Is all I'm saying.
You gave Derek a mustache that he then shaved off.
Well, like I was kind of like, especially Australia is having a weird moment of like mullets are back,
yes,
shit mustaches are back. I'm like, it's so cyclical, and I think like guys are like, it's funny, like, you know, I think it's, this is my personal theory, like guys who don't think they're hot grow mullets because then they're like, oh, I'm not being hot on purpose, and I'm like, you're right. Wrong, you're very nice looking. That fucking haircut, like stop being so insecure, Bradley. But like I could just see Derek like having a mullet, having a mustache, being like, oh, this is funny, like, yeah, I think in a way trying to project that he doesn't take himself too seriously, friends, because it's like I'm finding it even in the book that I'm writing now, everyone kind of revolves around Derek, all the other football players, because it's like, imagine kind of being the best at what you do and then you meet someone who's a genuine superstar. Like, even if you really like, I think you're going to have salty kind of feelings.
Sure.
So I imagine like the mullet, mustache, and kind of like, you're like, hey guys, I'm still fun. Needs to hate me.
I'm just one of the bros.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, he has nothing on Rothbart's mustache. That is for sure.
Yeah. A handlebar Princely situation. Okay. So for, I gave the age inappropriate category, which is kind of like your number five. Yep. But while I did recently have a sex stream about Meryl Streep, I have to go with Alan Rickman. Ooh. Who I have had a really big crush on since I was in middle school, and like none of my friends got it, and they kind of like grew into getting it, and then of course he passed, but the love is real. Ever since I saw him in Sense and Sensibility and he was Colonel Brandon, I don't know if either of you all saw that, and then of course he was Snape, I was just like, Alan Rickman at any stage of his life, any day of my life.
For me, it was him in Dogma as the Metatron.
Sure.
And that, like, yeah, also great. So, he does not have a penis in Dogma, but for like the first 10 times that I saw Dogma was on TV, and they cut that part out. They cut out. No. The first time that I watched Dogma on DVD, there were many parts that I was just like, wow, this
I can't believe they led you to think that Alan Rickman had a penis. That's so you should sue me. You were like, I was under the impression he had a wang this entire time.
No, he said that he was not equipped, but I don't think that they showed the, like, you know, Ken doll thing in the TV version, but everything else about him in that movie, the snarkiness and the authoritativeness, definitely worked for me. Mm-hmm.
All right, who's your number four?
My number four is Max Evans, as played by Jason Bear in the original Roswell, and that was back when the WB was a thing, so like the Dawson's Creek era of TV, and he walked so that these little CW boys could run. He was the prototype, you know, with like the tussled, very touchable hair, and he looks lanky and kind of, you know, boring until he takes his shirt off and he's like very cut. And he was deeply sensitive and intellectual, and he was a complete simp for the heroine. And then of course he was an alien, which adds a lot of drama. And in later seasons, he does some questionable things. And I love a little bit of like making the wrong decision, having to atone for it, and just like trying to like do make the next best decision in the mess that you've made. So
Is he a Seth Cohen prototype, would you say? Like, is it that vibe? I've never seen the show, so I'm
let's see, who would I compare him to?
I could see that.
Like,
I always think of him as,
oh yes, yes, yes,
more girls though.
Yeah, like that similar skinny boy kind of, you know, the era was indie rock, and boys were kind of trying to be like, why won't any of these bitches sleep with me?
Yeah, he was a little less, he wasn't funny like Seth Cohen was, so he wasn't like the nerdy type. He was just like quiet, thoughtful, so soulful. I was into it.
I like that you described him as boring until he takes his shirt off.
Yeah, no, like very like the nondescript like polo shirts, very Abercrombie of that like late 90s, early 2000s, I think.
What were the questionable things he did?
He had sex with another alien and got her pregnant. I don't know. I can't remember if he and the heroine Liz Parker were on a break or not.
We're on a break.
Yeah. So yeah, stuff like that. And it was also it was a teen drama. So there was like, you know, the episodes where it's like, am I going to lose my virginity to Max today? And like, everything is just, I'm going to figure out an episode title of one where there's a heat wave and all the kids are just like super horny and it's a metaphor for teen horniness. And it's worth a watch or a rewatch. You don't need much context.
Yeah. Totally. I feel like it's that thing of like, and then you're a teenager and you're like, this is exactly how it feels in my body. Except everyone that goes to my, no one that goes to my school is hot.
Yeah, exactly.
Including me. including me, for sure.
All right, are we ready for number three?
Yes. So my number three is, I'm a little bit older. I'm in my early teens. I'm obsessed with The Virgin Suicides, novel and the movie. I'm obsessed with everything Sofia Coppola does because I'm an edgelord. And I love Marie Antoinette. You know, like, it's such a thing. Like, it's just, you know, like, nobody understands me, Mom. And I'm obsessed with, and I realize that, like, I'm sort of very much coming to terms with my sexuality, which I'm still coming to terms with. I'm still just like, is being bisexual real? I don't know. I'll have to think about it more. You know, like, it's just that internalized, like, biphobia where you're just like, I don't know. I'm pretty sure I'm just making it up. But, I was obsessed with Kirsten Dunst in The Virgin Suicides. Yeah. She was like the bad girl. She had sex with whoever she wanted. She, like, yeah, it was just, I was fascinated with her. And it was the classic bisexual dilemma. Do I want to be you? Do I want to fuck you? And it's like,
classic.
Somehow you have to reconcile that it's both. I'm just like, so cool. I wish she wanted to have sex with me. But
yeah.
Yeah, sorry, that's very legit.
Don't know that Gen Z realizes the chokehold that Kirsten Dunst had on the culture for while.
Bring it on. Mm-hmm. That was the other, bring it on. Right. Spider-Man. What else? I even like went to the movies and saw Mona Lisa Smile, which was the dog shit movie. But like, it had Kirsten Dunst in it. Although, to be fair, her and Maggie Gyllenhaal look so similar sometimes. I don't know if you've ever watched that movie.
That's like, upsetting since she dated Jake.
Yes, I was just about to be like, Maggie Kirsten Dunst went out with Jake Gyllenhaal for ages. And I was like, I spent most of Mona Lisa Smile being like, wait, who am I looking at?
Why? Oh my God.
Another deeply disturbing fact about Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh God, among so many. I feel like his PR person must just be like fucking crying themselves to sleep every night right now.
I am not jealous. Okay, my number three, my category was a hate crush.
Ooh.
And I gave myself Jared Leto. Just Jared Leto.
That's enough of a shame.
I just
5 seconds to summer. No, what's his band?
Something 60 seconds to Mars,
30 seconds to Mars. Seconds.
Yeah, some amount of time to a place.
He's just like, I think he's a fucking douche, and I think he's like a genuine creeper. I watched that movie on HBO with what's his name? It's called The Little Things, and he plays like a horrifically gross murderer, and everything about him, like him coming to the Met with like a sculpture of his own head, like everything about him disgusts me. And yet,
what would you like to do with Jared Leto? Like, what's your ideal date in your mind? Like,
no date, no talking.
You're not the cheek.
Like, no.
Yeah. So. Gag ball.
Yeah, I think it would have to be a bit of a rough encounter.
You've genuinely shocked me. Like, you have, I'm sure. I'm just like, Jared Leto, that thing where he was like being the Joker and he was sending people dead mice and shit. Like, oh.
Like, I told him, like, a used condom rumor.
Yes.
Is that a thing? That's sexual harassment, like, to the nth. That's biohazard.
I respect it. Like, I'm not, I do not judge at all, but I'm just saying you genuinely shocked me because I mean, Requiem for a Dream, Jared Leto with the big blue eyes. Like, that's a sexy Jared Leto.
No, he's just a creep. And I accept that.
You're not going to let me bail you out of this. No. You're like, no,
you're being very generous.
Digging the hole.
All right, Liz, end my suffering.
My number three is Regina Mills, played by Lana Parrilla in Once Upon a Time. She played the evil queen, and she served every outfit was just an incredible look. She would wear like these architectural shoulder pads and brocade jackets, and like it was like an open front dress with like a long tail and leather leggings and pompadours and the red lipstick and lashes for days. And then she also played, she was posing as a mayor of a small town, and she was just like brutal and mean and very sophisticated and had insane chemistry with everyone she was in a scene with. And over the course of several seasons, she becomes a hero in the show. So she has like a very compelling redemption arc. And what is this?
Oh, it's a link to a picture of her with a helmet with a ponytail coming out of it that I just felt people should see.
I adore everything about that character. And there's just something about... based off of recent media that I have been very into, there's just something about a hot MILF who takes a whole town hostage and brainwashes them because she has a broken heart.
Sure. Yeah.
So,
who among us, right?
Who among us? Like, yes, please abduct me. Please give me a fake life and storyline. I'm about, oh, that's a great outfit. That's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one. Okay. All right. We ready for number two?
Yes.
Yeah. We are. I was like, I almost feel compelled. This is my worst one by far. I have to like kind of like it's awful. It's really bad. And I
worse
feel like
than Jared Leto.
I don't know. I actually reckon this pretty much gives you a massive run for your money. And I'm gonna prelude it by mentioning some honorable mentions, maybe, unless you want to leave them for later. But I was like, I feel like people need to know that I do have good taste. Sure, like the crushes, the crushes that I didn't want to talk about, like I was like, obviously Legolas from The Lord of the Rings, Megan Fox in Jennifer's Body, Donald Glover as Troy from Community, Aladdin. Like Aladdin was a very formative crush, but I was like, that's too wholesome. I stand by Aladdin. Like, I can't stand by Rothbart. That guy's a fucking dude. But I stand by Aladdin 100%. So I will preface this by saying I noticed a phenomenon in my early 20s wherein when I was ovulating, I would develop insane crushes on just insane people, especially when I went off the pill and you're sort of cycling normally. Mm-hmm. And everyone tells you like, get ready, you know, your hormones are going to change, you might find that you're attracted to people you weren't attracted to when you were on the pill. I was like, yeah, sure, whatever.
And then lo and behold,
I was watching YouTube one day and it was the review of a terrible movie, because like that's the kind of YouTube I'm into, like shit talking bad movies.
No,
it was a Logan Paul movie.
No, Eve!
Yeah. And I was just like, all right, this is happening. This is happening to me now. Which is like possibly just, and I was so ashamed, and I'm messaging all my friends and they're like, you should fucking take your own life. Like, this is the worst thing anyone has ever done. And I was like, you're right. It's absolutely indefensible.
But you mentioned that in a TikTok. I thought you were joking.
And I was hoping people would think it was a joke. But it's just like blonde hair, that body, that energy, and you're a fucking absolute clown. Like, you're an absolute idiot. But it's the same thing as your Jared Leto thing, Meg. I'm like, all I'm trying to say is that I would have sex with him. If we ran into each other and he was into it, I would go there. And that's something I have to live with as a person. It's proof that sexuality isn't a choice, because no human should want to have sex with Logan Paul.
Chloe Bennett from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. dated him after the whole Japanese suicide forest thing. Fiasco. Yeah. And like was on camera with him talking about like, he is my favorite person. of like, yeah, why would I?
He seems like a not massive fuckhead. Like, he seems fine. I get, like, it is pretty much inexcusable. Like, it is extremely, and like the whole Suicide Forest video, just him in that stupid hat, just being such a fucking clown. Like, yeah, very indefensible. But he is, like, I'm not going to say you've got to give it to the guy. You don't have to give Logan Paul anything. But he's very charismatic. He's very boyish. He's very ripped. And he's very blonde. And all of those things are things that I'm into.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, everyone hates on Nickelback and how Nickelback is the worst band, but someone is listening to their music.
Totally. Yes, exactly that. And it's like, you know what? No one wants to have sex with Logan Paul, but...
but if someone had to volunteer, it would be you.
I think it would have to be like, actually, like, you're gonna need to swallow this ball of socks and like not say one thing each time. And then we're just gonna, you're gonna sign an NDA that I printed off the internet. And it's probably not legally enforceable, but just sign it anyway.
Yeah, you have just like all your bath products lined up, like full head to toe skincare until I have a new body.
Yeah, I go into one of those, like when you've been in like fucking nuclear power reactors and you have to go get like 10 layers of skin flayed off your body. I just, it's like, sometimes if I want to shock people, that's what I tell them, is like, I have a crush on Logan Paul, and they just genuinely are like, lose their faith in humanity, I think.
Thank you for trusting us with that information.
And all of our listeners. What's your number two, Meg?
Okay, my category I gave myself for number two was a fictional throuple, including myself. So like, what couple do I really, am I really into, and do I want to join? And this is weird, and it is kind of controversial. Okay, so the Star Wars movies that everyone hates on, Attack of the Clones, it's got Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman as Anakin Skywalker and Padme. They're on this like sand planet. She's wearing these like flowy gauzy rainbow dresses, and he's like touching her bare back, and I'm just like, wow, this is genuinely bad acting, but I'm feeling it. So the runner-up for that was Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper on the piano bench at the 2019 Oscars. Just let me like slither in between them, but I settled that it was weirder for me to want the Star Wars couple.
Yeah.
Or like on top of the piano.
Yeah, they're playing me instead.
That's better than actually being in A Star Is Born, because you have to spend the whole time slapping whiskey bottles out of Bradley Cooper's hands. Like, no, no, there's got to be a better way. But Hayden Christensen, like, so it's just their energy together. Like, you wouldn't want Natalie Portman or Hayden Christensen. Like, it has to be that environment.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Something about the swirl of hormones between them.
It worked for me. I can just imagine you, like, holding hands with both of them, and like you're in like one of her outfits. Yeah, and you guys are just like walking through the set, and you're so happy to be there that it like lights up their whole lives. I feel like
that's what. Thanks for having me, guys. All right, Liz, who's your number two?
My number two is one of my formative bisexual awakenings: Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy in Batman and Robin, that George Clooney one where he had the nipples in the bat suit. Also, that might have been the origin of my lifelong fixation with redheads, the least natural, the better. Like, I, until very recently, had red and pink hair, and my whole life I've wanted to be a redhead, tried to be a redhead, like finally was like, okay, this cannot be achieved without bleach, and we are going in with the bleach. But she was just so, she would just like chew the scenery so much. And she went from being mousy and smart and people not taking her seriously to like just completely over the top in control of her sexuality and ruthless in the way that she wielded it, and all the outfits were great. And I just like, I have a thing for a sexy villain.
Yeah, clearly.
You do.
I feel like that so makes sense. She just becomes so sexy. Like, who doesn't love that? She just like totally turns it on.
Yeah, and just like the character of Poison Ivy, like even in the cartoon show that's on HBO Max right now, the Harley Quinn show, she's just like, she just cares about the fucking environment and hates what corporations have done, and like makes out with Harley Quinn. And it's, you know, I support everything that she does.
She also has great eyebrows, the character. Yes.
Yeah. And Uma Thurman is just so beautiful.
Yes. Okay. Oh my gosh, it's time for number one.
Well, like, I've peaked. Like, I just to like give myself an out where I gave myself like a nice weird crush to end on, which is it's someone you guys might definitely probably won't know. His name is David Pocock, so I would suggest maybe giving him a bit of a Google. He is an Australian rugby player, which I want to say is like, I've never followed rugby, I've never watched the rugby, but he got arrested for protesting against climate change. And so the first time I saw him was like, he was on TV in a suit talking about how climate change is even more important than professional rugby. And I was just like, like, it's just like, had like an actual visceral reaction to like, I need to go to him. I need to go to him. And I need to like have sex with him now. Like, even if like, help him out, I'll just carry his bags or something. Like, it's fine. I like, it was such a wholesome like crush where I was just like, I want nothing but good things for him. He seems like such a genuinely nice dude. He's a fucking brick shit house, but he's like retired from rugby. So my partner who does watch rugby, he's like, oh yeah, Australia's about to play. I'm like, is David Pocock there? It's like, he retired 5 years ago. Like, no. The only person I care about in Australian rugby. That's why I think it's weird. It's like, I don't support him in his rugby doing. I just support him in wearing suits and caring about the environment and just like
being. Oh, upon Googling him, there are two images that I'm like, whoa. There's one of him with a shaved head, which I'm extremely into. And there's one of him with wearing a t-shirt that's fighting for its life, holding a like chicken.
Yes, the chicken photo. Yes.
Oh, it's even like extremely endearing.
Oh, and just like, you haven't even like the pictures of him like recovering from rugby where he's got like bruises all over his face, and he's just like, I'm just like, oh,
yikes. It's just,
yeah, he's just, I very much have a type, like, you can trace it through people that I have a crush on, but yeah, I'm so here for him. He's, but like, it's like that thing of, he's married and I'm just like, I wish him and his wife all the best. If I met him, I wouldn't even hit on him. That's how much I like David Pocock.
It's a mark of respect.
I have been sitting here for several minutes, just like looking at this picture of his ass.
Yeah, it's a fucking smoke show. Like, he's just a beautiful, beautiful man.
He is thick with a bubble butt.
Yes, and that's what I mean. Like, he's just, and he's pretty. Like, he's got, but he's boyish, and he cares about the environment. Like, want to be with a man who cares about the environment? Like, that's actually like this, and not like cares about it, you know, oh yeah, I sponsor it or whatever. He like got arrested and like was like there, and I was just like, I love you.
He put his body on the line for the cause.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and it's a fine body.
And everyone in Australia, this is what I'm finding universally, like, all the guys are like, oh, whatever, he's probably just putting it on, and all the women are like, he's the only true man in the world, he's the one true alpha. Like, every woman is just like, whoever his girlfriend is, she's the luckiest woman in the world. And all guys are like, oh, whatever, he's probably just pretending. Oh, you're pretending. Like, you're just jealous. You don't have the motivation to actually do anything with your life. Leave David Pocock out of this.
That is an amazing number one. I will be Googling many photos of him because I want to see, I want to get the full picture.
Yes.
Meg, who's your number one?
Okay. So my number one, God, this is even weirder than I expected it to be. My number one is actually a specific body part of a specific character. I am sending the link in the chat. In the 2005 version of Pride and Prejudice, starring Keira Knightley and Matthew McFadden, Matthew McFadden plays Mr. Darcy, and there's a scene at the end where he's walking toward her through a misty morning field with thighs like tree trunks. And those thighs are my number one weird crush. I don't really care about the rest of them, just like specifically those. And I can't justify it. That's
having it. That's watched Tim Pace, like he does look like the Phantom of the Opera, like that. It's like giving me real vibes, like the misty walking.
It was wow, we're really tapping into Meg's childhood trauma. I was obsessed with Phantom of the Opera in eighth grade, like to an unhealthy point. So you saying that just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I always find this like 5 people out of 100 people that are fucking obsessed with the Phantom of the Opera, like, and everyone else is like, I don't know, I don't care. Like, and then people who are obsessed with the Phantom of the Opera, like, fuck, I'm fucking dying to be the Phantom of the Opera, like.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm disappointed with like how low res all these thigh photos are.
I will need
to play the movie.
Yeah, you will. If you just look up the YouTube video of that particular scene, you won't be disappointed.
Is he your favorite Mr. Darcy? Is that
I have a lot of loyalty to that version.
Yeah,
but you know, I haven't seen the Colin Firth one. I know, really? I know it's a travesty. I need to get around to it.
Him coming out of the pond with the wet shirt is very good, but I just feel that this is the best. You know, I've watched it very recently and it holds up over the last 16 years. It is still a quality film.
Mm-hmm. That's really sad that's 16 years ago, but well, that's scary, but what do you want to do? Bite? Like, do you just want to like bite them? Like, what's the feeling?
I don't know if I can be more specific. But yeah, biting probably would be on that list for sure.
I think maybe like take some calipers, get some measurements.
Mm-hmm. My husband listens to this podcast.
I don't think he can be jealous of like some guy's thighs from a movie, you know, like that was like, how would you begin to be jealous of that? Like, it's like I'd have to understand it to be jealous of it.
We're gonna see Ben in the gym doing squats and hip thrusts.
Yeah, getting those thighs. Maybe for like an anniversary he can recreate and he can stride through like a misty area just like the Phantom of the Opera, and that would be
like 10-foot-long backyard. He can just walk back and forth. Yeah.
You can borrow my backyard. I'll just be looking out the window like
then zoom in on the thighs. It'll be like in the best resolution possible.
All right, Liz, time for your number one, ultimately, weird crush.
My number one is predictable and lame next to yours, and it is Bucky Barnes, as played by Sebastian Stan. Oh,
yeah, I fucking love him.
He is the ultimate wounded boy. He was literally, like, he fell off a train, lost an arm, was brainwashed by Nazis, and forced to kill Kennedy, probably. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all sorts of people, and just like had decades of his life just taken away from him. And he had to, you know, he would not have chosen to be a weapon in that way. And he went from being so charming and carefree and like only cared about his best friend, his little twink boyfriend, Steve. And then, you know, like he has to come back to this new world and he's like brooding and he's got this jawline and he's got the metal arm that could just like
choke the fucking life out of you.
Choke the fucking life out of you. And like,
you know, there's attachments for that thing too.
Yeah. Oh my God. He's deeply sensitive. He is well read. He read The Hobbit when it originally came out. And he looks great in a leather jacket. He has knife skills that would probably translate into the kitchen, which is very important to me. Mm-hmm. And just, I don't know.
How do you feel about calling Bucky during sex, though? Like, you're going to have to give him a nickname. Like, well, that's going to be
Bucky. I think it would have to be James. It would have to be his legal name, because Bucky is not like very sexy to scream out in the height of passion.
No. Yes. Yeah. James is good though. That's mm-hmm. good. Yeah. You can be the one who calls him James and that'll be sexy.
He also, you know, he spent time in Wakanda and he surely got like all the white nonsense taken out of him while he was there. And just like anything left from the 1940s, like he's good. He will go to a Black Lives Matter protest with you. He knows to bring cake to the cookout and not to bring like mac and cheese or anything, because you are not at that level of being trusted yet. He just, you know.
Yeah, you wouldn't have so little emotional labor. Like, he's already, you know, I'm just comparing him in my head to Logan Paul, which again is like, you just walk out of the room holding your hands up and being like, no. So yeah, I feel like
he's already been ran through multiple times is what we're saying.
Yeah.
He had court mandated therapy in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, so he's
nice. You love a man who goes to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You really do.
Okay, how about honorable mentions? I have some embarrassing ones, but I want to hear yours.
Embarrassing honorable mentions. The penguin from that Batman and Robin movie I don't know. It was another weird ovulation crush. Like
the Danny DeVito one?
Yeah. I don't know. He was just such a cunt. Yeah, I don't know. Look, I didn't come here to.
We're not judging you. We're not judging you. This is a safe space.
Justin Bieber was another ovulation crush, which I was just like, that's not cool. Like, even though he's like a grown man now, I'm just like, why? Like, why?
Yeah, he's like a perma child in my mind.
Yeah, and like such a fuckhead. Like, I was just like, that's again equally not cool. I did have a crush on the really buff chick from The Mandalorian, but like she's
a real disappointment.
It was.
You hate to see it. You hate to see sexy people be assholes, because you're like, well, now I have to feel weird about wanting to have sex with you.
Just shut up and be inconvenience.
Sexy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the example of fumbling the bag, because she was going to have a Disney Plus spinoff for her character.
Yeah.
You just have to not be a shithead on the internet.
Exactly. But I'm glad. In some ways, like, for all the hellscape that social media has unleashed upon the world, it's like, well, people have to, you know, people say what they mean, and they say what they mean directly to the public so that you can't misconstrue it. And then people can be like, fine, you suck.
I don't really have any runners up, because I just put all my weird shit.
Well, I have some to save you, Meg, from some of the ones that you are ashamed of, because on my honorable mentions, I had Jordan Catalano as played by Jared Leto in My So-Called Life. And I would also say that Jared Leto, in his 30 Seconds to Mars era with the guy liner and the long hair, is very much one of my types. So
yeah, I do like eyeliner. Yeah,
And then Elizabeth Hurley as the devil in Bedazzled. Again, like that sort of like sex pop bombshell Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy type was very formative for me to both the aesthetic I want to cultivate and the aesthetic I want to fuck.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Can't argue with that.
And then the last one would be Tommy Oliver and Kimberly Hart, the green and pink Power Rangers and Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Whoa. So, yeah.
So I would say, probably at that time, I would say that my crush was on the green / white Power Ranger. And yes, I know how white Power Ranger sounds. But really, it was on the pink Power Ranger, who was a gymnast. So,
yeah. Do you think you'd have to fuck all the Power Rangers, though? Do you think they come as a package deal? Like, you have to date all of them?
This might be, like, Cable, where you can get some add-ons. And I would think that, like, they come in, like, one of the add-on packages.
Yeah.
Tommy and Kimberly. So, yeah, I don't think that you would have to fuck all the Power Rangers, but they were all very good looking.
You might want to.
Eve, thank you so much for sharing your weird crushes with us.
The world will never be the same.
I know my world won't. So
I can't believe you had a crush on some thighs. Like, that's just, like, it's just really opened up my, yeah, I feel like I've really changed as a person in the last
I'm glad I could do that for you.
Amazing. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Will you tell the listeners where they can find you and when your next book is coming out? Do you have a release date yet?
No, I'm trying to get better this year with release dates, but it's kind of like when it's ready, it's ready. And then you kind of have 6 weeks from when it's ready. So I'd love to be more professional and actually be like, I'm going to release a book on this date, but I'm scared if I set a date, then I'll just fuck around. Okay. Like, you know, like you're studying for exams.
Yep.
So at Eve Dangerfield is my Instagram and TikTok handle. My next book's First and Forever, which is the third book in the Rebirth series. So I think it's probably be April.
Excited.
So it's going to be with a character we met in Returnal and a new character is the heroine.
Yes. Willow, who makes an appearance in Returnal as a loose cannon redhead. And it'll be Eden Jade, who's kind of like a trans EDM DJ. Like, I was like, I wanted to do like a female DJ. So we'll see how that goes.
Cool.
That sounds really excited. Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you again for being on, and come back anytime. We can't wait for the next book to come out.
Yeah, have a really good night, you guys. Take care. Thanks for having me.
We will have links to anything that we mentioned and to all of our social media and all of Eve's social media in the show notes. And until next time, air kisses.